Guys, wake, how are we feeling this morning? We good? Guys, like a little sleepy. Guys, can we just stand up real quick? Let's just stretch it out. Let's just do a quick stretch. Just kind of lean to the side a little bit. Lean to the other side. Maybe do a little twist, a little turn. Come on, let's wake it up. We're feeling good. It's okay, guys. It's almost summer. It's going to be okay. We're going to survive. Don't worry. All right, sit back down. Sit back down. Hopefully you got your blood flowing a little bit. Amazing. Guys, well, it is almost summer, and that means you guys are almost done with school. That means no more homework, so let's give it up for that. Come on. Let's go. Well, I'm excited about that. I'm also excited because of the message that I have the chance to share with you guys, so I'm going to get your attention, please. And so if you got your Bibles, your journals, go ahead and pull those out as we get started. We always value you guys bringing God's Word to Wake, because there's something about just reading it in front of you that we really value. And so as we get started, I want to quickly highlight kind of what we talked about the last few weeks. And so if you're with us 2 weeks ago, we've been starting a series, or we went through a series called Stay Tuned, where we've been talking about just the reality of technology in our world and the dangers and distraction that can quickly come with it if we're not aware of it. And so 2 weeks ago, we just talked about the boundaries that you could set in place for your life, and that boundaries are not a burden, they're a blessing for our benefit, and how we can do that in a way that honors God. And then we talked about last week, Jonathan just shared with us how we can find our satisfaction solely in Jesus and not through a screen. And so that was a really good series. If you haven't had a chance to listen to that, you can go back and listen to that. But this morning, I'm going to just press pause on that series. I want to share with you guys just something that's on my heart, some encouragement I would give you as I was reflecting on just my time in middle school. I was reflecting on just areas that I wish, things that I wish I would have heard. And so this message was kind of developed from that. And so I'm excited to share with you guys, as I, Jonathan kind of shared, this is my last Wake message. And so I'm really, really sad about leaving. I love the chance to serve alongside all these amazing leaders and be with you guys. I believe truly that you guys just aren't like the next generation or future leaders, but you are leaders right now, and that you have impact and influence where you are. And I've gotten to witness that. It's been a joy, truly, and a privilege to be serving in this ministry. And so as we get started, I kind of want to share, start our time by sharing with you an article that I read recently. And this article was kind of funny. So it basically just outlines, it was like basically the article was described as 10 benefits or 10 surprising benefits of common activities that you do each day. And so the article went in and just talked about things that we do each day that we're unaware of the benefits behind them or the way that it positively affects us. And so let me give you some examples of what they talked about. They said laughing. So laughing actually relieves pain. It said that laughter may ease pain by causing the body to produce its own natural painkillers. So pretty fascinating. That's science. There we go. Walking, which most of y'all do, helps you eat healthier. So if you want to eat healthier, you're going to walk, because it can reduce cravings and intake a variety of sugary snacks. There we go. So the more you walk, the healthier you are. Chewing gum. This is actually a life hack right here, guys. Chewing gum helps improve memory. Chewing gum helps improve memory. It increases blood flow to your brain. All right? So every test you take, you should chew gum, because it actually improves memory. There we go. Life hack. It's amazing. Music improves motivation. True. Breathing through your nose, all right? Listen to this. Breathing through your nose reduces stress and anxiety, because it creates in you ability to breathe longer breaths, which actually helps calm your mind. So all of you are going to breathe through your nose now. So it actually creates more peace as you breathe through your nose. I don't know. I've never tried it, like just doing that all day, but apparently it really works. And so there's a lot of others I could list off, but those are a few. And as I read that article, I was just honestly surprised to understand that there's so many benefits behind things that I do every day that I'm just fully not aware of. Like so many things, positive things that I do. And if I was aware of them, I believe I'd be probably more intentional, probably about chewing gum or walking more or breathing through my nose, right? And so I say those things because I believe kind of in the same way in our relationship with Christ, there are a lot of benefits that are available to us when we walk with Jesus. Like, there is so much that we have access to when we choose to follow Jesus and his intended plan for our lives. But I think a lot of us stop short and we kind of blind ourselves to the benefits. A lot of us can just stop and just see Jesus as someone who just helps us follow the rules or just makes us try harder or we just have to go to church or we just limit Jesus to just all the cost that comes with it. And we never get a full picture of the reward. Because anything worth doing also always comes with a cost, but there's also a significant reward. And so that's what I want to talk to you guys about this morning. The reward, the benefit, the blessing, the joy that is available to you when you walk with Jesus. There is a cost, but I want to focus on the reward. And so I'm going to answer one question for the remainder of our time, and the question is this. Is following Jesus worth it? Is following Jesus worth it? I want you to think about that question to yourself. Because I think most of us would say yes, but then as we start to answer that further, I think we kind of have a shallow response. Because most of us don't necessarily have a compelling answer. And if you don't have a compelling answer, then you're not going to have a compelling faith. Because there is so much available to us when we walk with Jesus. And he offers so many things that I couldn't even begin to describe. And so my goal for this morning, the remainder of our time, is to help you answer that question. Because if you can answer that question, I believe it'll give you an experience with God that'll change your view of him. That'll change your view of him. So we're going to answer that question this morning. So if you're taking notes, we're going to talk about four things that I believe are reasons why following Jesus is so worth it. That following Jesus will completely change your life, what he has to offer you. And here's some benefits that I believe we overlook. And so the first one, if you're taking notes, is this, is that we have a promise for a full life. That we have a promise for a full life. I think Christianity kind of has this ugly reputation at times where like all God is a killjoy and makes you avoid fun and just follow the rules. And it's really just this limited perspective. And I love what Matthew chapter 13 talks about, because in Matthew 13, and Jesus is talking about this parable. Parable is simply a story that illustrates a point. And he's going to go in to talk about this parable where a man finds this treasure. All right, it's like he's on a treasure hunt. So it's a really cool parable. And whenever you think about treasure, really it carries with it this idea that you're gonna find something that'll change your life, right? If you ever watch a movie about a treasure hunt, typically the person in the movie is doing everything they can, risking their whole life to find this treasure because they believe it's going to change their life. And so Jesus compares walking with him to a treasure. And so I'm only going to read one verse, and here's what it says. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, it says this, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And there in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field." And so what's happening right here is this man finds this treasure. Typically, in Jesus' day, you didn't have any banks. And so the way you bury, or you would bury your possessions. And so he's illustrating a story of a man who buries something, finds treasure that was buried. And what he does is immediately he goes and sells everything that he owns, meaning he sells his Nike Air Maxes, his AirPods, his car, his shoes, his clothing, in order to have this treasure. And it carries with it this idea that he's found something so valuable that it's worth giving up everything for. Like he interacts with this treasure that's so valuable, he's willing to give up anything for it. And my three favorite words in this passage, I want to focus on, I bolded them, is this. In his joy. You see his response. His response isn't in his frustration and his anxiety and his doubt and his fear. No, he walks away joyful to sell everything that he had in order to interact with Jesus. And that's what I want you guys to understand. I think a lot of times we can probably, if we were writing that passage, we would say, following Jesus is like a to-do list, or it's like a chore, or maybe it's like a ball and chain that we just feel like we have to drag around and just keep us from doing what we really want. But if how you describe Jesus, following Jesus, if you wouldn't describe him as one that brings joy, then I want to give you a better definition of what that looks like. Because that is a full picture of life with him. in his joy, he responded to follow him. He couldn't wait. He didn't walk. He ran because he was excited for the opportunity to know him. And so my question for y'all in this passage is, man, what is one word that would you use to describe your faith? So write that down if you're taking notes. One word that you would use to describe your faith right now. Think about it. Write it down. And if in kind of your top five, there isn't the word joy, then I feel like we have an improper or not a full picture of what walking with Jesus looks like. I love right before Jesus goes to the cross in John 15, 11, he just says, hey, I'm writing you these things, I'm telling you these things so that in you, your joy may be complete. He wants to give us a full joy. And what that means is when you understand the perspective of who he is, that he offers forgiveness, that he offers something free that you don't have to earn, that you don't deserve, that when you walk with him, he carries your burdens. When you walk with him, you understand that the creator of the universe has your best interest in mind, that he's after your good. What that does, it should always lead to a response of joy. The main mark, the main characteristic of those who walk with Jesus should be joy. And the sad reality is, I think a lot of Christians out there would label themselves as a Christ follower, but wouldn't have a lifestyle of joy. And that's just missing the mark. Because when you know Jesus, the result is going to be joy. There's no other option. And that you're going to respond out of obedience, and you're going to respond out of joy because of all that he's done for you. So I love that passage, Matthew chapter 13, verses 44. So as we keep going, Psalm 4:7 just says this: you have given me greater joy than those who have an abundant harvest of grain and new wine. I love that. I love that verse because it's just saying, hey, out of all the things you can think of that would bring you joy, nothing can compete with God. Literally, nothing can compete with God. He says greater joy. Greater joy is available to you. So as we continue, we see not only do we have a full life, but why following Jesus is worth it is that we have a position of significance. We have a position of significance. And I believe one of the greatest temptations or challenges for middle schoolers is that you guys easily overlook your value. That the enemy wants to convince you that you aren't significant, you have no value, you're a failure, you don't have any importance. And so what he does is he just limits you from ever understanding the full picture of seeing who you are in light of God and what he's done for you. And there's two really primary ways that you determine value. Two primary ways, two factors that you determine value. So we're going to list those. It's number one, depends on what someone is willing to pay for it. So that's how you determine value, is how much somebody is willing to pay. And so maybe your house or a pair of shoes that you have, or a game system that you got. The way that you determine the value of that is what someone is willing to pay. Like, that's the way you determine the value. How much something costs. If you have a collection, a card collection, or some type of cool collection, the only way that's worth something is based on what somebody is willing to pay, right? So that's one reason. The second factor is this, is who owns it. So who owned it? That's the second way. And so I was online on eBay seeing a few of items that were sold recently that were worth a ton of money. And the things that actually go for the most money are items that belong to celebrities, all right? And so I saw online that Justin Bieber's hair, a piece of Justin Bieber's hair is right here. You could buy it on eBay. No telling who got that. I mean, did they clip it like while he was sleeping? Who knows? There's some creepers out there. But there is a storage compartment right here with his hair. And can we take any guesses of how much that cost? All right, you guys are going way high. Close. $40,000, people. $40,000 for a clip of Justin Bieber's hair. I also read, there's a few other examples. Stay with me. There's a few other examples. Justin Timberlake took a bite of French toast and someone took it from his plate and sold it for $2,000. There's also chewing gum from a celebrity. I don't even remember the name of it. and they sold for like $50,000. And so you just go on and you just see so many things are worth a ton of money based on who owned it, right? Stay with me, stay with me. And so when you evaluate those two things about determining worth, you'll see two questions that you can answer are this. What was paid for me and who owns me? What was paid for me and who owns me? As you reflect on value, you understand that what was paid for me is that God, through the price of his son, saw you worth it. Literally, saw your worth based on the price of his son. And not only that, who owns you, when you believe and you trust in the finished work of cross, what happens is you move from being enemies of God to being children of God. And you move into his family. Now you have the opportunity to call God your father. And so that is your value. That is the value you have. That you should never think you have no value or insignificant. Because here's what 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 23 says. You have been bought and paid for by Christ, so you belong to him. Be free now from all these earthly prides and fears. Meaning we should always understand that we are in a position of significance when we follow Jesus. That is the benefit, the blessing of walking with him is that we always have an opportunity to see our value. The last few examples I'm going to give is the reasons why it's worth it to follow Jesus is that we have a purpose laid out for us. We have a purpose laid out for us. And so my son, who I've talked about a lot from stage, he's 2.5, and his favorite thing to do right now is to draw. And so he'll get out all the colors, he'll get out all the paint, and he'll put it across the table, and he'll start drawing. And as soon as I start to grab like a pencil from him or a color from him and start drawing and doing these amazing trees and the sun, he'll grab the pencil from me. Because he always thinks like he can draw better than I can. And he's only drawing like squiggly lines and blobs of paint. Like it's not much, but he thinks he can draw better than me. And so I can never draw anything or write anything or paint anything. I simply just watch. And as I was thinking about that kind of illustration, I was thinking about some of the things that we typically do in our relationship with God. As I think we try to so many times kind of grab the pencil from the story that God is writing in his hand and kind of try to create our own story. That we understand, we believe that God is sovereign. We understand that he has a plan for our life. But how that plays out is we typically say, hey, God, I don't like your plan. I'm going to grab that paintbrush from your hand and paint my own picture for my life. I don't like, you know, how you made me. I don't like how tall I am, how short I am, how funny I am, how smart I am. I want something more. I'm not content with how you made me. And so I'm going to take that paintbrush from your hand and paint my own story for my life. And what that does is it leads to discontentment. It leads to a life of always striving and always trying to find value in other places. And when we do that, we never live out the purpose God intended for our life. I love this quote by Tim Keller. He just says, if we knew what God knows, we would ask exactly for what he gives. If we knew what God knows, we would ask exactly for what he gives. Basically, that point is he's making is like, hey, if we were God, we wouldn't change anything about our story. Because we would know that he uses everything for our benefit, that all things work together for those who walk with Christ Jesus. Like he gives like a purpose and a benefit for our life. He always has that. He has our best interest in mind. I love that. If we knew what God knows, we would ask exactly for what he gives. Here's what Isaiah 55, 8, and 9 says. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are so far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So basically he's saying God's thoughts, his plans, his methods, his strategies are all higher than us, that we can't even comprehend them. So let me give you a picture of that. If you knew everything that God knew, God would fail to be God, right? That he would be human. He would be small. He wouldn't be a God worth following if we knew everything that God knew. Like the fact that we don't know everything that God knows is actually freeing because it means he's God and we're not, right? And so that's a blessing that to know that his ways are higher than our ways, that we can't even comprehend them. We can't even comprehend them. Psalm 23:3 just says, he refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. The next reason, the last reason I want to share with you guys as we close is that why following Jesus is worth it, is that we have a person to relate to. So we have a person to relate to. How many of you guys have ever received a gift that you didn't ask for? Right? Show of hands. How many of you guys received a gift that you did not ask for? Now keep holding up those hands if you actually really love that gift. Most of you, right? Like it's probably rare that you get a gift that you didn't ask for that you actually like. But when you do get that gift, what does that make you feel? Like that person really understands, right? Like that person fully knows you, can relate to you, can really knows your likes, your dislikes, your interests. You like literally thank them because you're like, wow, you understand me. There's something special about that. And I think in the opposite way, when we go through something hard, our tendency is to be like, nobody understands me. Nobody understands me at all. This struggle is unique. This sin is unique. No one in the history of the world has ever gone through this. I'm alone. Like we isolate because the enemy wants us to believe that we're alone and no one can relate. And I believe one of the greatest privileges of walking with Jesus is that he can identify with us, that he understands us, that he can relate to us, that God isn't just some far off distant figure in the sky, that he came down in the form of a man to live a life that we can relate to in the sense of he experienced temptation and struggle and pain, and he did it perfectly. And here's a few of the things that I wrote down that reasons why Jesus can relate is that Jesus knew temptation. It says this in Mark 1:13, that he knew temptation. He was in the desert for 40 days and was tempted by Satan. Jesus knew frustration. It says in John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, that he scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. That he walked into the temple and he was frustrated. It says that Jesus knew rejection. I won't read all these, but I'll keep going. It says that Jesus knew sorrow, that Jesus knew bullying, and Jesus knew loneliness. Like all of those things are a picture of what Jesus can relate to, what he knew, what he endured. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says that he considered it joy to endure the cross. I mean, he felt those things. He's someone that we can relate to. He's someone that we can embrace and understand. And I want to close with this picture. So I'm going to show it on the screen. So just stay there at that picture. I'm going to describe what's going on. And so I saw this article a few years back about a certain job that's located in parts of India where people will manually clean sewers, okay? So let me just give you an idea of what this looks like. These guys will jump in to these sewage kind of holes or these manholes, and they'll jump in and they'll manually clean them with their hands, not wearing any protection or gloves or eye protection. They go in and they cover themselves with human waste, like I'm talking feces, garbage, toxic chemicals, anything toxic they can interact with is down there. And they jump in and they clean this out. And so they unclog it, they move all this gunk and disgusting garbage out of these sewage compartments to clean it. It's pretty disturbing to think about. And it's actually one of the most dangerous jobs in the world that you can do. And so I'm going to flip through some other pictures. So here's the guy, he's going under, and he has the filth kind of covered on him. And then here's another example of, this is a man whose hands are swollen because of the toxic like waste that is down there and how it affects him. Because he actually wore it, right? He got into the filth and cleaned it. And I think that is one of the most powerful illustrations that I can think of when I think about what Jesus did. That he didn't just stay God, but he came in the form of a man and bore the filth of our world, entered into the filth and garbage of our world to save us, to clean us, to offer us a new life. I love what 2 Corinthians 2 just says. Just our 2 Corinthians 5, it says, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin. He became sin on our behalf. He entered into the filth of our world to save us. And that should change us. That should make us respond out of joy and to see the amazing benefit and the amazing privilege to follow Jesus, even if it costs us something. it's worth it. All right? So let's pray. Lord, thank you that you're worth it. Thank you that following you is worth it. Even if it costs us something, Lord, there is privilege and joy and benefit and blessing when we choose to follow you. Psalm 16:11 just says that at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You offer us joy. And I pray that we be a characteristic of joy in our lives, is that we would walk with you and reveal joy to the watching world who has no joy. Lord, I pray that we commit to you even when it's hard, that you would give these students a heart that is eager to serve and love you out of a reflection of what you've done for us. You entered the filth of our world to save us. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, have a great week of worship. We'll see you next week.
Yeah.